We present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Tim Rice, and Giles Brandreth in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hello and welcome to Just a Minute. And as you've just heard, we have two guests this week who've both played the game before. That is Tim Rice and Giles Brandreth. And they've joined to do battle with two of our regulars, Kenneth Williams and Clement Freud. And... and once again, I'm going to ask them to try and speak on the subject that I give them, and I wish them to try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. And we'll begin the show this week with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject that Ian Messiter has thought of to start the show is lawyers. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Lawyers is the corporate name given to barristers and solicitors who in this country practice the law and in the United States go into politics. They are among the group of
Tim
people...
Tim Rice challenged.
There was a very strong, competent un there.
Tim, I think there was hesitation, so you have a point for a correct challenge. You take over the subject of lawyers, and there are 46 and a half seconds starting now.
I am particularly well qualified to talk about this fascinating subject of lawyers because I was once an articled particle in a solicitor's office.
Clement Freud challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Of grammar. A articled.
You have to deviate from the subject, and he didn't do that, so Tim, you have another point. For an incorrect challenge, you keep the subject, and there are 38 seconds starting now.
Unfortunately, I was required to leave this distinguished profession rather on the hurry, simply because I tore up the wrong pile of documents at a crucial moment in that firm's history. I was requested to rip into shreds in the days before they had those machines a whole pile of probates and wills which had been now caused to come out of date.
Giles Brandreth challenge.
I felt there were little moments of growing hesitation. No.
Yes, I think you expressed
breathing
it.
Breathing problems, that's all it was.
Giles,
breathing
yes.
Breathing problems.
And he was stuttering to a halt but didn't quite achieve it. there are 17 seconds for you, Giles, on the subject of lawyers starting now.
I come from a legal family and I once asked my papa if actors act and
Tim Rice has challenged.
Repetition of pa.
But I think papa is usually spelt as one word. So an incorrect challenge. Giles, you still have the subject. And 13 seconds, lawyers starting now.
If dancers dance, do solicitors solicit was the question I wanted him to answer. But of course, being a very legalistic inclination, he sat back, donned his marvellous wig, which had belonged to his pater, and said...
Well, when Ian Messiter blows his whistle, it tells us that 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point. It was Giles Brandreth, so he's taken the lead at the end of that round ahead of Tim Rice, Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams.
I think Giles Brandreth's awfully good in this game, don't you, Mr. Chairman?
Extremely good.
So do I, Mr. Chairman. I must say, I'm very impressed considering he's a newcomer.
He's not all that new. He's played it quite a few times before, actually.
Yeah, with great success. I thought I ought to say something, Mr. Chairman, as you haven't given me a subject yet. I thought I'd better get something in.
Yes. And of course, some weeks ago, because this audience wouldn't remember because they weren't here, he did actually almost win.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Chairman. Mm. Very good indeed, Mr.
Why
Chairman.
Why are you suddenly calling me Mr. Chairman?
Well, I mean, you've got to give authority to proper effect to you.
Well, I'm sorry that you can't begin the next round because we've got it down for Giles Brandreth to start. And Giles, the subject is confidence tricks. You bring off some of those in just a minute to keep going, but will you talk on the subject starting now?
I must plead guilty to having taken part in a confidence trick or two in my time. Nothing as grand as selling off the Eiffel Tower. But a few years ago, I went to Petit France to get myself a passport, and I'm ashamed to say that I passed off a confidence trick on the people there because it was 4 o'clock on a Friday afternoon, and I needed to go to the United States of America the following morning, and I did not have the required document. And they told me, I'm afraid it's too late. You need to book this weeks in advance. So I burst into tears and said, my mother is dead. knowing full well that the dear lady was alive and well and living in Baker Street. They said, this is tragic news. And there, as I wept and cried, they assured me that they would do what they could because I had to get to her funeral in New York. And within half an hour, I am here to tell you, I had exactly the piece of paper that I needed and swept off to Heathrow Airport where...
Clement Freud is challenged.
He didn't have a visa.
I don't wish to be pedantic or indulge in semantic byplay, but you will know that you can, in fact, keep a visa from an old passport, providing you take it with your new passport and even show it to the officials.
The thing is that I don't think he was actually deviating from the subject of confidence tricks. He was telling us the one he pulled. So, Clement, I have to disagree and say there are 7.5 seconds left for you, Giles, on the subject, starting now.
There was a notorious confidence trickster who once managed to sell the Leaning Tower of Pisa to a group of Americans.
Clement Freud.
Repetition of Tower. We had the
Eiffel Tower. Tower and the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Sorry. So, Clement, you have a correct challenge there. Well, listen, 3 seconds are left on confidence tricks starting now.
Confidence tricks are something people perpetrate while others pickpocket.
Well, Clement Freud was speaking then as the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's equal with Tim Rice, who are trailing Giles Brandreth and Kenneth Williams. And Kenneth, the subject is collections. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I had to take a collection once, and they said your spot will be outside the theatre which you are appearing in, so that we will get more people coming by, and your collection box will be filled. And I stood there, and I was saying, go on, give something. And one man was terribly rude. Get out of my way. I'm doing nothing. I said, well, I mean, after all, these people are in need. So am I. Get out. I've never known anything like it. And at that point, the owner of the theatre came by in an enormous Rolls Royce and got out, and you know, that lovely little travelling rug around legs was removed. And he said, hello, how are you doing with your collection? And I said, not terribly well, because this awful man had been so dreadfully impolite. He said, never mind, because you see, you must remember the old saying, virtue is its own reward. I said, that is worthy of an entry in my diary, or indeed in the Goncourt diary, which I consider equally, I mean, not more important than the diary by someone like Ian or someone like that other one, Pete, because I mean, they're marvelous diaries, and they would be right. And that sort of thing that I'm reading is only the rule.
Well, that round of applause which came spontaneously from the audience was because Kenneth Williams kept going for 1.5 minutes on the subject. And he was actually challenged twice, but I cancelled the challenges because I enjoyed what he was saying. So, Kenneth, you kept going beyond the minute, so we give you 1 point for not being challenged and 1 point for speaking as the whistle went, and you had 3 at the end of that round, and you are in second place! Tim Rice, will you take the next round? The subject is discs. I'm sure you know a great deal about that with your success as a songwriter, but will you tell us something about it in just a minute, starting now?
One of the most painful afflictions that can affect anybody, young or old, is a bad back. And the reason for this is very simple. Your back part of
it. Clement Freud is challenged.
Hesitation,
I agree, Clement. 51 seconds. On discs with you, starting now.
A disc is what it used to be called a record.
Tim Rice has challenged.
See, did I hear correctly? I mean, that was... A disc is
what it
used to
be called
a record.
This is... We do have people in many far-flung countries who listen and try and improve their English by listening. And I think that I would be very unfair to them if I didn't say, yes, that was deviation. So, Tim, you have a correct challenge in 47 seconds, starting now.
I think, however, I will digress from the problems of the spine and get to discs that we know and love, viz. The ones that Clement Freud was trying to talk about, those which create music. Now, the new thing in discs is the compact disc. The compact disc is wonderful because...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition of compact.
Yes.
It's all one word again, compact disc.
No. You're not going to get away with it. You can try, but 30 and a half seconds only on discs with you, Clement, starting now.
Perhaps the most successful company producing discs is called Virgin, because their records do not have a hole in the middle, which makes it very difficult indeed to put it onto a record player or play it in...
Charles Brandreth has challenged. Yes, Charles?
Well, on two counts. First of all, we have the repetition of record, and I also wanted to, just to save him any litigation at a later stage, to say, of course, that was all meant in fun, Mr. Branson. We know that your records are lovely ones with nice little holes in the middle.
Thank you very much, Charles. If nobody here could care less about that second point.
Well, you'd better start caring, because you might be on the end of a libel action.
No, they've got a sense of humour, and the audience show their appreciation of Clement's witty remark, but he did repeat the word record, so, Giles, you have the subject with 15 seconds, disc starting now.
I'm proud to say that I have made a disc myself of me reading my great poetry. This was made in the United...
Tim Rice has challenged.
Deviation, arrogance, all these things.
Arrogance, maybe. Deviation, not at all. They were quite respectable poems.
No, it doesn't matter whether you're arrogant, it doesn't matter how you appear or put over what you're trying to say, as long as you don't deviate from the subject. So...
Did he sell more than one?
We will find out, perhaps, as he continues with 9.5 seconds starting now.
2 copies of this particular disc were sold by me to myself and to my dear mother, who very sweetly bought one in order to be able to play it night after evening in the long winter.
Charles Brandreth speaking as the whistle went.
Is this before he died in Baker Street?
Charles Brandreth has, got the point for speaking as the whistle went and has increased his lead. And Charles Brandreth begins the next round. Charles, can you tell us what goes into my waste paper basket? That is the subject on the card. Will you talk on it starting now?
As you might well guess, what chiefly goes into my waste paper basket is my poetry. I sit at my desk scribbling away all day and then crumple the little bits of paper and chuck them despairingly away. Today, for example, if you looked into my waste paper basket, you would find an ode I'd written to the distinguished chairman of this particular program. Dedicated to Nicholas Parsons, it began, "Don't worry if your job is small and the rewards are few. Remember that the mighty oak was once a nut like you." Having written this epic epitaph, I decided that really it wasn't good enough and I would have to start all over again. And I thought this time I would take as my inspiration Shakespeare, the Bard of Avon himself, and decided that I would write a miniature epic on the subject of a Romeo and Juliet and the night they went out together on...
Tim Rice got in there on your wonder. Tim, 10 seconds. What goes into my waste paper basket? That is the subject, starting now.
I put many things into my waste paper basket, but the problem that I usually find attacks me in this particular matter is that object number one every day is...
Clement Freud challenged.
It was a... I'm sorry.
If you interrupt...
Yes, he must have several points.
Not several, he gets 1 point. You interrupted
it
his...
It was nevertheless...
No, you tried to get in with 1 second ago.
No.
Well, you almost achieved it. So, Tim, you have a point for an incorrect challenge. 1 second on what goes into my waste paper basket, starting now.
Del Shannon.
And with a little help from a Freudian slip there, Tim Rice has moved into the lead, 1 ahead of Giles Brandreth, 2 ahead of Clement Freud, and a few ahead of Kenneth Williams, who begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject is Christian Doppler. Will you tell us something about him in this game, starting now?
I can't really think that the people here would be terribly interested in Christian Doppler, but nevertheless, he was an Austrian physicist, born in the 19th century, actually, and the interesting thing about him was that the Doppler principle, for which he is famous, is the measurement of noise variation, which he maintained decreased
at the same ratio as the observer retreating or approaching the source. Now.
Tim Rice has challenged.
Cobblers. The way he described the Doppler shift was not very accurate.
I thought it was extremely good, actually.
Exactly right.
And exactly right.
Nothing about it.
Well done.
Well, sir, I should be subjected to these sort of insults from people like him.
What? Kenneth, I'd put up with them because you get a point every time you're interrupted for an incorrect challenge.
Insulting, I've come all the way from Great Portland.
Kenneth, it was an incorrect challenge. You are right about the Doppler principle, and Christian Doppler is the subject, and there are 28 seconds starting now.
And Christian Doppler had terrible trouble getting a visa, so he swung a great story about his aunt in Baker Street, and he had to get to New York in time for her funeral.
Tim Rice is challenged.
Well, this surely is deviation. I mean, if I
We don't know. He might have done it, mightn't he?
There isn't another Christian Doppler who wants to get to Baker Street.
It went just to New York with an aunt in there. I tell you what, where did it left the audience? Because I can't really judge on this. I don't know if there's another Christian Doppler who's got an aunt in Baker Street who wants to go to New York. So will you be the final judge and arbiter? Now, if you agree with Kenneth Williams there is another Christian Doppler, will you cheer for him? And if you disagree, will you boo for Tim Rice and do it together now? I think the cheers have it. Except they said to say hooray instead of cheers. Right, so they're with you, Kenneth, as usual, and there are 19 and a half seconds on Christian Doppler starting now.
On one occasion, he did a variation on a theme with a piece of music called Romeo and Juliet. Now, it was about the night they were supposed to meet on this balcony, you know, where she says that stuff about the sun rising or the sun setting. I can't ever...
Giles, you challenged.
I'm sorry, a couple of sons there.
Yes, indeed there were. Giles, you got in with 3 seconds to go on Christian Doppler starting now.
My little poem about Christian Doppler begins in this very... way.
So at the end of that round, Giles Brandreth's getting an extra point speaking as the whistle went has now taken the lead. And Tim Rice, you begin the next round. The subject, sneezing. Can you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
The funny thing about sneezing is that you hardly ever sneeze just once. And the...
Kenneth Williams challenged.
This is the funny thing about sneezing. You only ever sneeze once. Well, it's not funny at all. I'm not laughing.
There's
a famous line that Ian Hay wrote in a play called The Man Said, Was It Funny? He said, you mean funny peculiar or funny ha-ha?
Original.
Yes. So I think this was funny peculiar, and it wasn't a ha-ha, so I leave it with Tim Rice, and our 55 seconds on sneezing starting now.
When I was a young sprig of a thing, I used to sneeze twice, never more.
Tim and Freud has challenged.
Repetition.
What? Of what?
Sneezing twice.
Sneezing twice, that's right, I'm sorry. So, Tim, 51 seconds for you on the subject of sneezing starting now.
Oh, I've got it.
Yes. Tim Rice challenged.
It was a very poor
hesitation. Well done, Tim. And you've got 50 seconds on the subject of sneezing starting now.
And yet, when I was a little bit older, I found myself sneezing 3 times. Not just once, not 2 times.
Tim and Freud challenged.
Repetition of times.
Yes. Yes. You said the last time you were speaking, you do the
yes,
word
yes,
times.
I admit it.
So, Clement, you've got in there with 43 seconds on sneezing starting now.
There's a very good way of stopping yourself from sneezing, which is by taking your right or left forefinger and pressing it upon your upper lip, which somehow stops you from making that noise, which in polite society is totally unacceptable. I don't know why it should be that... emitting noise from one or other
He shuddered to a halt, didn't he?
He didn't shudder to a halt, but he did pause.
Yes.
Between words.
No, you pause, Clement, and Kenneth has the subject with 24 and a half seconds sneezing starting now.
You can encourage the process of sneezing by taking snuff. And as you know, it's the tobacco derivative, and it can be awfully charming. I had a friend who used to put a little on the back of the finger and then pass it under the nose with tremendous elan, elegance, I would say, and always a sneeze followed violently.
Yes.
Well, Kenneth Williams is moving up there. They're all fairly close at the end of that round, and Clement Freud begins the next round. Clement, the subject is header tanks. So would you start with it, Clement, 60 seconds now.
I went the other day to an Irish race course where an elderly female gypsy came up to me and offered me white heather for luck. Now, if I didn't have bad fortune, I wouldn't have any at all, so I decided not to purchase any. Or to put it another way, I said, no header tanks.
Kenneth, I was interrupted.
Well, there was a long pause, wasn't there?
There was, yes, because you were waiting for his applause.
Yes.
So, Kenneth, you have the subject with 39 seconds on header tanks starting now.
These tanks, as you know, were designed by Alexander Header and...
Clement Freud.
But it was quite clear that I didn't know.
It doesn't matter.
You can't say as you know.
Well, he can start it. He uses it. It's a figure of speech. You may not know, but some people may. He was using it as a figure of speech, which is not deviation in just a minute. And there are 37 seconds. Header tanks, Kenneth, starting now.
And the idea behind them was a light construction capable of moving at great speed. Now, in the event of a push, which is what the enemy makes into your territory when the invasion is imminent, this is the tactic.
Tim Rice has challenged.
It doesn't make a push when invasion is imminent. It makes it when invasion is actually happening.
Oh, you're right. That's brilliant, you know. I mean, that is my... He's not just a pretty face, is he?
No, even with the beard. Tim Rice, yes, what a clever challenge. There are 19 seconds for you on header tanks, starting now.
I once owned a horse called Header Tanks, and it wasn't a particularly successful one, which is why many people in this beautiful building, the Westminster Theatre, won't have heard of it. But I think it's well worth talking about now. Header Tanks first ran at Worcester in 1963. It came a good fourth behind three extremely speedy nags, and I was not at all disappointed in its results. So we...
Well, Ian Rice's horse kept him going to the whistle when gained that extra point, and he now has increased his lead at the end of the round. Giles Brandreth, will you take the next round? The subject, wisecracks. You produced a few of those in your time, some against me. But will you talk on the subject in just a minute, starting now?
Wisecracks could be a newspaper headline about the partner of Eric Morecambe, or it could indeed be a turn of phrase or witty saying, such as the great one from Anthony Burgess along the lines of, laugh and the world chuckles with you, snore and you sleep alone. Now that, to me, is a perfect example of a wisecrack, because there is there both a jest and a hidden truth, whereas all too often wisecracks are merely banal cracker mottos of the kind that when one might say of the Queen, what does she do when she burps? She issues a royal pardon. Now, some people might think that this was a witticism of a sort, but I do not consider it to be a wisecrack because there is no fundamental gravitas to it, and it is essential when considering wisecracks that one has both piss and moment, and speaking of the latter, let me give you what I think.
Oh, a thunderous round of applause for Giles Brandreth, well deserved, taking the subject and keeping us entertained with it, which is also very difficult, and without being interrupted, well, without deviating, hesitating, or repeating himself, gains an extra point for speaking as a whistle went, and a bonus point for not being interrupted, and he's one behind our leader, Tim Rice, just ahead of Clement Freud and Kenneth Williams. Oh no, it's Kenneth Williams in third place. For once, Clement Freud is in fourth place. Kenneth, it's your turn to begin. The subject, Kenneth, is old wives' tales. Will you tell us something about that subject in the game, starting now?
A cold key down your back will alleviate shock. The other one was poultices made of cold tea, which was...
A Clement Freud has challenged.
Two colds. Repetition.
The old, yes. There were two colds, weren't there? I'm sorry, you just got going as well, but... 52 seconds for you, Clement, on the subject of old wives' tales, starting now.
This is quite absurd. Old wives don't have tales. Rats and mice, lambs, cows, horses, all sorts of animals.
Kenneth Williams, a challenge.
Yes, I thought hesitation. It was deviation and hesitation, actually.
Was it? Oh, well done. So you get the subject back, Kenneth, with 42 seconds on old wives' tales, starting now.
What is curious is so often what appears to be an old wives' tale has such a degree of truth that modern medicine recognizes it. In the West Country, they can always try a clap-on and full of cobwebs for a cut or an abrasion. It's been proved since that these things which spiders weave do contain enough cleansing material to not only heal the wound, but to perform a kind of natural sterilization. And I think we should all stand in awe of these...
So, Kenneth Williams cleverly and with great skill kept going until the whistle went, gained that extra point, and you probably know the result. But let me tell you, it was a very equal contest. First of all, let me say they all contributed marvellously in equal quantity. Clement Freud was only 1 point behind Giles Brandreth, who was only 1 point behind Tim Rice, and he was only 1 point behind this week's winner, Kenneth Williams. In spite of what he often says, he came to triumph this week. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute, and we'll want to tune in again the same time next week when we take the air and we play this delightful and sometimes ridiculous but enjoyable game. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.